Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and we've been a series on Sunday nights on what the Bible says. Looking at so many different subjects, we've been dealing with what the Bible says. We've dealt with a number of subjects up to this point. The last time we dealt with what does the Bible say about faithfulness, the time before that, what does the Bible say about eternal security, and we're walking through the alphabet dealing with some very, very significant issues. What does the Bible say about this area? And tonight we want to look at one area that affects every single one of us, and it's this area about forgiveness. What does the Bible have to say about forgiveness? Now, let me ask you a question as you're turning in your copy of the Scripture to Matthew chapter 6. When somebody hurts you and really does something to you, says something, offends you, what is your first response? Well, if you're like any natural, normal, red-blooded person, it's maybe not the first to forgive. There's that anger and upset and some thoughts go through your mind and some things that happen in your heart and your spirit. And the truth about it is a lot of individuals, and I've asked individuals over time of counseling, I've asked them about forgiveness, and I said, do you believe you ought to forgive? They say, yes. And do you know that it's right to forgive? Yes, I know it's right. And then I ask this question, do you know how to forgive? It is amazing that we know that we ought to forgive. We know we should forgive, but it's interesting how many individuals do not really know how to practice forgiveness, and you may be one of them. But tonight we're going to look at what does the Bible have to say about forgiveness. When you hear the word forgiveness, maybe somebody crops up in your mind that you don't want to think about that person right now because that person has done something to you, said something to you. Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a husband, wife, it's been somebody close to you, maybe a son or daughter. But Jesus has a great deal to say about forgiveness. The New Testament is filled with incidences and passages on forgiveness. But we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 15 tonight. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 15. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them how to pray. And when it gets to verse 9, chapter 6, listen to what he says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Won't you look in verse 12 one more time? Forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors or those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. He is teaching them how to talk to the Father because he knows that down the road he's going to be leaving them. He knows that he's going to be going back to the Father, and he's teaching them how to pray, how to talk to the Father. And in the midst of giving them this prayer, Jesus talks to them about how they need to deal with issues that happen when it comes to forgiveness in life. Because there's one thing that Jesus knows about everything, every one of our lives. He knows everything about all of our lives. He knows we're going to face issues of forgiveness and unforgiveness. He knows that it's going to be a human reality in every one of our lives. Somebody is going to do something in your life, say something to you. Somebody is going to owe you something, and you need to learn how to forgive. There is no way to have victory in the Christian life apart from learning how to forgive. You can go to church all of your life, you can sing the songs, but you will never have joy, you will never have peace, you will never have happiness and tranquility until you learn to forgive people. And when Jesus is talking about forgiveness, he wants his disciples to understand. He's teaching them, and he's wanting them to understand the impact whenever it comes to forgiveness. He says, when you pray, pray this way. He says, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us, those who are indebted to us. And then at the conclusion of the prayer, you remember what Jesus said. He said, remember this, that if you don't forgive others, then the Father will not release you. In other words, there will always be a bondage in your life whenever it comes to forgiveness. Now, you don't live in your body very long without having somebody do something to you that really hurts you, or maybe there's somebody right now in the past, in the recent past, or even distant past, they have hurt you and said something to you, and you really struggle with this issue of forgiveness. Well, I want you to get a pencil and piece of paper out if you have it handy, or just copy it on something, because I want to walk through this issue about forgiveness. What does the Bible say when it comes to forgiveness? Well, first of all, what does forgiveness mean? Now, the very basic definition of forgiveness is this: the act of forgiving, or the act of releasing somebody of what they have done to you. It's a pardoning a person who's offended you. Somebody has said and given you an insult, and it's forgiving them for what they've said. Somebody has borrowed some money from you and they do not repay you. It is forgiving that person of what they have done to you. It's releasing them. And there are always three parts to a debt. There's always three parts that come whenever there's the issue of forgiveness. Always these three things take place. First, there is injury. Somebody injures you in some way. Somebody insults you. Somebody says something. Your wife, your husband, your relative, your mother, father. Somebody says something to you and you didn't like it and it hurts. Now, it could be something that they don't realize what they said, realize what they did, but still yet, that don't change the fact that you're hurt. You know, all throughout your life, there is that tendency, you're going to get hurt. Because we live in a human body, we're going to get hurt. You know, the first, there's the injury because someone's done something, or somebody has borrowed some money from you and somebody said, I'll repay you, and they don't repay you. Somebody has taken something from you that is not right, whatever it may be. And because of that, there is a debt that's owed. You know, wherever there is forgiveness, there is always a debt that's owed. Some of you may be here tonight and you're waiting for somebody to say, you know what, I'll forgive them when they come to me and apologize. And I want to show you that's not biblical in just a moment. I've heard people say to me, well, I will forgive them if they come to me and say, I'm sorry. I'll show you in just a moment why that cannot take place, why that is not genuine forgiveness, because Scripture makes it very clear. If you're waiting for someone to come to you and ask for forgiveness, then that is inconsistent with what the Bible says about forgiveness. You know, that can involve so many things. You know, maybe over finances. I heard of a pastor one time, someone came to him and he happened to be, you know, have some savings, and somebody asked, was trying to start a business and they wanted to borrow a sum of thousands of dollars. And they were close friends, and he let the man borrow it. The man never repaid him, never gave him the first penny back. And, you know, he said over the years, he said, I see that man from time to time. And he said, he don't want to talk to me. He don't want to be around me. He said, I've forgiven him. And in spite of what he's done to me, he said, I've forgiven him. He never owes me anything. He never has to say I'm sorry. He never owes me an apology. He said, I've released him, and I'm set him free. But here's the reality. He said, he's not free in his own soul because he knows what he's done. And so there's a debt that's owed. And another thing that takes place whenever there is forgiveness, there's cancellation. Now, sometimes we say it and you think, well, it's not easy to forgive. And I want to say this very carefully and very clearly and very precisely. No, it's not. One of the most difficult things in your entire Christian life that you will ever do is forgive someone. It is with every part. I've done a number of things in the Christian life, and one of the most difficult things that I do, that you will do, is the issue of forgiving someone. Why? Because, first of all, you don't maybe don't expect that person to hurt you. You don't expect your spouse to do what she did or him to do what he did. You don't expect your neighbor to say what they said, or you don't expect someone to do you that way. You thought they loved you. You thought they cared for you. And sometimes we say, well, you don't understand what happened in my life. You don't know what's taken place in my life. I have the right to withhold forgiveness. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you're a child of God, saved by the grace of God, there is never a single time in your life that you have a right before God to hold forgiveness from somebody else. Now, it happens. It happens all the time. But you remember what Jesus said? I want you to look back in your copy of the Scripture. Look back in Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to look at the very last verse. In verse 15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, what does that mean? There'll always be that sense of pressure in your life. There'll always be that sense that something isn't right. There'll always be that reality. You can go to church, you can give money, you can do everything under God's sun, but if you don't release that person from what they have done, you'll never enjoy the Christian life. I know preachers that are mad with churches that they've been at. If you're around sometimes and I have the opportunity to listen to preachers and hear them talk and somebody has hurt them so deeply, and not only one person but a number of people, and it's almost they don't realize that they need to forgive them. And they get angry, they get mad, and all of a sudden they go from one church to another church and this church to that church, and they have all the more anxiety and all the more unforgiveness. And you see, the reality is, forgiveness doesn't mean that you become intimate with that person. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you go on vacation with them. You know why? Because they may not even be interested in you forgiving them. They might not think a thing that they've done to you, you know, I mean, it. But the issue is, you know that there's hurt, there's anger, there's bitterness inside your soul. One of the things that I tell couples whenever they get married, the secret to a successful marriage is not a lot of things we've been told. I heard one woman share about her marriage and her relationship, and she said, you know what I found the secret to marriage is? And I've told couples this through the years. The secret of marriage is forgiveness. Now, sometimes, you know, ladies, don't you sometimes want to kill? Don't you answer that. You know, you just want, you know, what he does and what she does. We live in this earthly body. And so whenever Jesus is talking, he's talking about forgiveness. And you see, forgiveness doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Somebody hurts you and somebody says something, it's not going to be easy. It's not easy to get on your knees and say, Lord God, I'm not going to lie to you and I'm not going to lie to me anymore. So-and-so has hurt me, they've injured me, and I really don't want to forgive them. Listen, you can never be happy if you're not honest. One of the realities of so many Christians in their life that are miserable, number one, from the get-go, they're not honest when it comes to being honest with God in prayer. Let me tell you one of the things that I found out in my own personal life. And I'll share this as a testimony and be transparent to hopefully help you. Some years ago, the Lord put me on the side of a bed, and I realized that in my spirit there was anger and there was bitterness and there was madness and there was hostility and there was unforgiveness because some things had happened and some things had been done to me and some things. And I just finally had to come clean. Lord, I'm mad at, and I named the name. I'm upset at, and I gave the name. Why do you do that? Because there has to be that surrendering of that issue to the Lord God. And you see, the reality is sometimes we're told, you know, you just do the best you can, read the Word of God, pray, but we're not told to deal with other people, to cancel their debt. You're going to have somebody that waylays your life, and you want to do something to them. You want to get even. You're angry. You may not say it, but you don't want the best for their life because there's that anger and that unforgiveness. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. He said, you need to understand that forgiveness is essential for freedom in your life. I've said this over and over, and I'll say it till my dying day, my dying breath. One of the single greatest keys to happiness in the Christian life is forgiving anybody of anything they've ever done to you. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. You know why? Because when you don't forgive, you're robbed of joy. When you don't forgive, you're robbed of peace. When you don't forgive, you're robbed of happiness. But when you forgive them, when you release them, when you set them free, it's amazing what the Father does in your own life. And so, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean you forget about it. Now, I can remember some people that some things they've done to me, and I wouldn't be able to share the illustration if I could forget them. I remember that dear, precious saint of God in the first church I pastored. Made life hell on earth for me. He was good at it too. And he would sit at the front pew and he'd just turn his Bible and make my stomach sick because I knew his whole purpose was to find some issue with my preaching. And God knew my heart. I was doing the best I could do with what mind I had at that time and what abilities I had at that time. And I'll never forget, he came up to me one time. And this one statement dug in my spirit and hurt me worse than any statement I have ever had said to me in my life. He said, Benny, what does the Bible say about adding to and taking away from the Word of God? I've never forgotten what he said. I'll never forget what he said. But here's the reality. I'm not upset at him. I'm not mad at him. I don't have anything, any harm against him. You say, well, he's dead and gone. That don't change the fact. You can have bitterness and anger and resentment. The person died 20 years ago. Person died 30, 40, 50 years ago. As long as you're alive, it's alive inside of you. And so, because you and I need to understand, you know, it's not pretending something didn't happen. One of the things that happens a lot of times, and I hear people say this, well, you know what, you just have to overlook people. Tell me that's real easy. You know, somebody does something to you and say, well, you know they didn't mean to do it. But when you're alone with your own mind and your own heart, you know how you really feel. So, you know, forgiveness, is a reality in every one of our lives. Issues are. And you see, here's the thing about it. Things are going to come. You're going to get hurt. And you need to understand that there's going to be all sorts of issues. There's going to be a debt that somebody owes you. There's going to be that injury. And then there's going to be the point where you have to decide for yourself, will I cancel the debt or will I not? Well, number two, forgiveness is always initiated by the innocent party. Now, chances are when you was talking, you've talked about forgiveness and sometimes somebody says something like this, well, you know what? When they come to me and they tell me that they're sorry and they wish that they would never have done it, then it's when I'll forgive them. But I'm waiting for them to come to me. Well, let me tell you, there's a problem with that. Number one, there's a biblical problem. Number one, that's not the way forgiveness works. Let me show you, just give you an example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, turn there for just a moment. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to look at it carefully. For he hath made him to be sin for us, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible makes it very clear that forgiveness took place permanently, totally, and completely when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross. You know that is a fact. You know that he secured our freedom. But watch this. What had Jesus ever done wrong? Jesus had never done anything wrong, said anything wrong. He had never hurt a single soul. But Jesus and the Father initiated the plan of forgiveness. And here's a principle of Scripture. It is never biblically, it is never the guilty party that initiates forgiveness. If you're waiting for somebody to come to you and say they're sorry, if you're waiting for somebody to say something to you and say, I apologize, would you please forgive me? You say, well, that's when I'm going to forgive. That is unbiblical. Biblical forgiveness always, always, always is initiated by the innocent party. That's why somebody has hurt you, somebody's done you wrong. You say, why should I initiate forgiveness? Because Jesus initiated forgiveness in your life and my life. He was the innocent party. He had never done anything wrong. You're the innocent party. You didn't do anything. You didn't say anything. That's exactly who initiates forgiveness. And the Bible makes it very clear. The innocent party, Jesus initiated the total forgiveness of all sins. And in the model prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus gives the picture. Now, forgiveness always comes when the innocent party willingly, deliberately, intentionally chooses to forgive. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You will never feel like forgiving somebody. Have you ever thought about somebody that hurt you and you just say something like this? Well, I don't feel like forgiving them. Well, that's the reality of our lives. You will never feel like forgiving someone. And you see, to practice forgiveness according to Scripture, the person who has been hurt always initiates it. I want you to watch very carefully. In Matthew chapter 6, I want you to look in this prayer very carefully. And I want you to look very carefully at one verse. In verse 12, listen to what it says. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That somebody owes you a debt. Somebody owes you an apology. Somebody owes you an I'm sorry. Somebody owes you, you know, they've embarrassed you publicly or privately. They've done something to you that something has been robbed. You feel like you've been robbed. You feel like you've been emotionally violated. And Jesus said, here's the way that you do it. You initiate forgiveness because that's the way I did it with you. I'm the innocent one, but I initiated forgiving you. I released you and I set you free. And you see, when there is an unwillingness to forgive, then here's what happens. You know, we may say, well, I don't understand what's happening in my life. I can tell you this, and I want to be honest with you, and I want to be transparent, and I want to tell you myself. I can tell you the moment that I start withholding forgiveness. If somebody does something to me and says something to me, I can tell it's like a cold cloud that starts coming. I thought, what's going on? And then the Lord just reminds me, Benny, check your spirit. I may not have appreciated what was said. That person may never know till their dying day what they did or what they said. But here's the reality. I know in my soul and you know in your soul. Amen? You know what's been said to you. You know what's been done to you. And all of a sudden, I try to read the Word of God and the Lord just reminds me, Benny, you're in a halt until you forgive. Now you say, what is it? Well, you have to forgive. Well, that's between the Father and me, just like yours are. But there's all sorts of things. And you see, forgiveness is always initiated by the innocent party. That's what you need to understand in this principle. Forgiveness is never biblically initiated by the guilty party. Person who borrows $10,000 from you, don't you expect him to come to you and say, you know what, here's $10,000 and here's an apology. You know what, now, you know what, that's where a lot of Christians, they're stuck. They're stuck right there because they're waiting. They're waiting for the guilty party to come to them. They're waiting for the guilty party to say, I'm sorry. They're waiting for the other person to initiate it. And I'm sorry, that's not the biblical way. It doesn't work that way. And when you understand that it's the innocent party that initiates it, then it makes it all the more easy. Because listen, Jesus Christ initiated forgiveness in your life, in my life, and he lives on the inside of you and me. So you and I initiate it. Well, number three, forgiveness is not an act of emotions, but of the will. Listen to what Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 says. Forgive us. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other words, to forgive another person, you don't feel like forgiving a person. Let me just take an example. I'll take a real live example, and I'll just pick on James over here since he's handy. James says something to me, does something to me, and really hurts. He never knows about it because I don't go tell him. But in my heart, I say, Lord, I don't feel like forgiving James. Father never told me to feel like it. He says, forgive us our debts as we what? Forgive. As you forgive. Lord, you have given me the power to forgive. You need to understand, you have been given the power by God to forgive. It does not matter what it is. It doesn't matter the degree of what it is. You have been given the power to forgive. I know that, and I know how it can be realized, and I've had the opportunity to share with someone who had it hurt so deeply. You've heard me share the story of what happened with Brother Henry, one of our former members who's already with the Lord now. Happened to his granddaughter, was shot in the back, and her body was, her feet was tied together with a block on the bottom of her feet, and she was thrown in the Cars Fork Lake over in Hazard, and the man that shot her in the back went in to talk to his dad to find out how best to dispose of the body. And I'll never forget when we was traveling to Lexington on one occasion. He was telling me, he said, this is killing me. I can't get rid of it. And what he had done to his granddaughter, this man, how he had murdered his granddaughter. What would you do? You say, you can't forgive. Now listen carefully. As we was on our way to Lexington, we stopped and I said, do you want to forgive? And through tears and through hurt and through pain and through agony, he sat there on the side of the road and he said, Lord God, right here and right now, I choose to forgive. And he named his name. I forgive him for murdering my granddaughter. He said, I forgive him. I release him. And I set him free. I cannot tell you what it was like. I cannot describe the atmosphere in that car. But he shared with me and shared it for many, many years to come. He said, Benny, I never go by that place that I prayed that prayer on my way to Lexington that I always remember. That's where I was freed. Because it was killing. Now listen, you may never have anything that radical to happen to your life, but then again, you may. The issue is, he didn't feel like forgiving this man. And one of the things we get stuck at, we think, well, I don't feel like forgiving them. It's not an issue of feeling. You never feel like forgiving someone, but you do it as a matter of choice. Listen, forgiveness is not based on emotions. Jesus said, you forgive, you cancel their debt. You cancel their debt just as the Father in heaven has canceled your debt. You remember the story that he used? You know, one man owed many, many talents or much money, hundreds and thousands of dollars, and he begged his master, set me free. And he said, forgive me. And he forgave him. And then he had a little servant that just owed him a few dollars. And the Bible says he beat him because he owed him a little money. That's the picture of what God has done for you and me and how we're to treat one another. But the truth about it is, that's exactly where a lot of people are. They're stuck because they won't forgive somebody else. And you see, the reason so many people have ill will and unforgiveness in their heart is that they won't ever forgive. I can tell you this, and I want you to listen. I pray the Holy Spirit etches this so deeply in your heart, you cannot forget it till your dying day. You can never be free as long as there is one person in your life you will not forgive. It may be a dad. It may be a mother. It may be a friend. It may be a neighbor. It may be a husband. Don't matter. There is never genuine freedom. And you see, it's not an emotion. You know, Paul made this statement in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And the truth about it is, there's a lot of situations we don't feel like forgiving. Well, number four, forgiveness is the single greatest Christ-like thing you will do. Now watch what Paul says. And be ye kind, one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now listen. Let me pause. Something has happened quickly to my voice. Thank you. Father, I need clarity to continue. And I ask you for that. Thank you, Father, for sending all that I need from heaven. I ask for it, and I thank you for it, that it's already on its way. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Forgiveness is the single greatest Christ-like thing you can do. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, I came into this world to forgive. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, when he died at the cross, he died to do what for you? Thank you, dear brother. He died to forgive you. Whenever you cancel someone else's debt, whenever you give payment, release somebody, that is the single most Christ-like thing you can do. It's not easy. I can tell you this, there may be weeping, there may be tears, there may be anxiety, there may be a lot of emotions. But when you forgive, you are doing the single most Christ-like thing you can do. Listen to what Paul said again. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even what? As God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And you see, you've been injured, you've been hurt. And the nature, you look at Jesus, there are so many things that was done to him. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. You have Jesus living on the inside of you. If you're a child of God, yes, you are. There is the Christ likeness living on the inside of you. If you're not like Jesus, then the issue is you've never been saved. Because that's exactly what salvation is. Christ coming to live on the inside of your heart. Now, there is a high price that we pay when we don't forgive. You need to listen to this as a caution. When we refuse to forgive others, think of what happens. The Bible says God stops hearing our prayers. You know, there's a lot of people who bow their head and they say words, but their prayers are never heard. Why? Because there's somebody in their life they won't forgive. There's somebody that they will not release from debt. There's somebody that they're not going to let them go. And it could even be your dad. It could be a fellow Christian. That's why I say this to all of us. We all need to inspect. Because guess who can hurt you like nobody else? Number one, your family. And number two, what other type of family? Church family. You know why? Because we love one another. You know, who is the greatest potential to hurt me? You or some stranger across the road? I've had strangers who've waved at me and they've forgotten to raise their other fingers. Did that bother me and get me upset? Did I hurt my feelings? No. Waved at them and they went on. And they think, what in the world are you doing, you nut? But because we love each other, we're the family of God, we're one with another. And so, second of all, you know, the blessings stop flowing. There's a lot of times, you know, somebody will say, well, why are the blessings not flowing anymore? Why are the blessings ceasing? Because look at your life. Who is it you're not forgiving? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? You say, oh, that's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal to the Father. It's a big deal when you do not forgive somebody. That's a major deal. You may think, well, it's just between me and my wife. No, it's not. It's between you and everybody else you'll meet. Because you get bitter. And you ever met somebody that has unforgiveness? It's like you say hello. What do you mean, hello? I mean, they're mad at everybody they see. Bitterness, anger, resentment, all of the attitudes that crop up in our soul. And then next, forgiveness frees us. You know, whenever Paul was talking to the saints to forgive, he made it very clear that it serves a purpose. Be ye kind, forgiving one another, releasing them of their debt. Now, you may remember what they did to you. Just because you forgive someone don't mean you want to go on vacation with them. Because they may not change. Their attitude may not change. They may not care a whole lot. But the issue of what happens in your soul. And you see, freedom or forgiveness creates a freedom in your life, in your mind, in your body, and in your spirit. Because you're always, watch this, you're always going to live with you. You're going to go with you wherever you go. You're going to sit in church service after church service after church service, and you're going to always be with you. And you're going to know that person you didn't forgive. And it doesn't take long for unforgiveness to create bitterness and anxiety and anger and all that. But when you forgive, it just removes all the debris. And you can enjoy yourself. You can enjoy your life. Failure to forgive, lastly, results in personal torment. Can I say this? Only God knows the countless millions of people who claim to be Christians. They're mad. You talk to them and they talk mad. You can look on their face and they look mad. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that a Christ-like attitude that glorifies the Father, that it ought to be evidenced in the countenance of your face? Yes. Jesus made it very clear. Let people see your good works. And one of the greatest works is that of forgiving. One of the realities is there's no joy. I can tell you preachers and pastors and church leaders that I know in other churches and in large churches. I was listening to a preacher preach one time, and I won't tell you the church that he pastors of, but as he was preaching, one of the things that went through my mind is, I wonder who he's mad at. Heard this story told one time as a true story, and the preacher was preaching, and he went to the back of the door, and he was shaking hands with everybody. And one of the precious members, an elderly saint, just a precious woman of God, she put out her hand to shake hands with the pastor, and she said, I just have one question. Who are you mad at? Let me ask you a question. If I'm mad, would it bleed through my preaching? Oh, yeah. It bleeds through everything you do, everything you say, everything. And you see, you can be a preacher, you can be a pastor. Just because you open the Word doesn't mean you apply the Word. And here's why, because you have to, Father, I forgive that person for what they said to me. I forgive that person. You say, well, they may not have meant to hurt you. That doesn't matter. Bottom line is you've been hurt and there's something that there's injury. Second, when we don't forgive, we just mentally replay the event. Don't you answer this out loud. But how many times have you replayed that single event over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? only happened one time or maybe twice, but in your mind, it's happened a million times. The thing for which we've been hurt. And you see, when you forgive, it's God cuts the video. There's no more video to be played because God in his infinite power cuts it. Then thirdly, we die in relationships. Have you ever seen a husband and wife who at one time in their life they was like this? Inseparable. Oh, he loved her, she loved him. And then all of a sudden through the years, you know, they're like, hello, hi. You know, they're right here. Now I want you to listen to me real carefully. Do you think it's God's design that marriages become further apart? No. Not at all. But here's what happens when you don't forgive your spouse. You say, well, he don't want to hurt me. That's maybe the reality, but you live in a human body. What happens is you can always stay just like that. And then lastly, our lives corrode into deep bitterness. You know, there's a lot of trauma when we fail to forgive. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs. You know the first part of this. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doth good like a medicine. But listen to the last part. But a broken spirit dries the bones. Do you realize unforgiveness hurts you physically? Hurts you when it comes to your health? You see, there's so many things that happen in our life, and there's so many people that can hurt us. But you know, when you and I are willing to admit that somebody has hurt us, you say, well, how do you do it? There's a prayer that I've prayed many a time, and I've shared it with different ones who really want to know. Because I want you to listen. Just to say, well, I know how to forgive, prove it. See, I heard message on message and message on forgiveness. But then it got down, do I know how to forgive? And the reality was, no, I didn't. When you forgive somebody, you name the offense. Father, I just come to you and I've been hurt by so-and-so. But I'm not going to lie to me and I'm not going to lie to you. So-and-so has done me wrong. They've hurt me. They've offended me. But right here and right now, I forgive them. You pray that to the Father. I forgive them completely and totally. They never owe me an apology. They never have to say I'm sorry. They never owe me any payback. I forgive them. You say, well, what if they owe you money? I want you to remember this. Just because you get them off of your hook doesn't mean they're off God's hook. The Father will continually deal with them. So when it comes to forgiveness, one real simple question to you and to your life, do you practice it? Do you practice it faithfully, intentionally, and regularly? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for reminding us of how significant forgiveness is. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts afresh tonight. In this invitation, Father, have your will and have your way. Father, I pray for that person who's struggling. They wouldn't want to raise their hand. They wouldn't want to walk down this aisle. But they're struggling with forgiveness. Someone has hurt them so deeply. And Father, we pray for them. Father, help them to understand that forgiveness frees them. That's what you're all about. That we live in freedom, enjoying the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for hearing and for answering. God, in this invitation is our prayer. In Jesus, I pray.